Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A lot of people are talking about the John Wayne Gacy documentary that's streaming right now, that six-part series called Devil in Disguise. But only Walter Jacobson interviewed Gacy back in May of 1992. We're going to talk to Walter about that in a second. Here's a clip, a part of that interview that Walter did with Gacy. And you can tell by this little bit of the interview that Gacy thought of himself as a victim.
John Gacy expresses no remorse whatever. On the contrary, he says he's a victim for being found guilty, the 34th victim. And he says the families are victims because they don't know who the real killer is.
I'm not only the victim here. I may be the 34th victim, but there are other victims to this crime, and that is the family. Because if I know that I didn't commit the crime, then I have been given the injustice, and so has the families. And nobody gives a damn about the families.
As though he cares, which clearly he does not. And when the families insist that John Gacy pay for his crimes with his life, his real feelings come out.
That one mother that gets on television all the time who thinks I should be given 33 injections, I think she ought to take 33 Valiums and go lay down. She goes on Geraldo's show and all these other shows talking about, I think it's Maori, I think is the name, her Marine son. Her Marine son, if her Marine son was so great, what the hell did he run away from home 12 times?
Not enough for him to be murdered.
I know that.
John Wayne Gacy with Walter Jacobson back in 1992. Walter spent 2.5 hours with him. Walter, how did you get that interview? How did you get into the prison to have the chance to talk with him? How did it come about?
I was in trouble. I was in trouble at WBBM Channel 2 when a new general manager came in and decided that my commentary was too controversial for his taste. I was on the 10 o'clock news, 3 minutes of Walter's perspective every night for years. And that really meant a lot to me. And he came in and willingly took it away. I then went to, not right then, but sometime thereafter, I went to him and the news director, and I said, listen, I want that commentary back. You know I want it back. If I get you John Wayne Gacy, will you give it back to me? Because they had asked me earlier whether I could find an interview with Gacy, and they both agreed, the general manager and the news director, and we shook on it. So then I spent a year, Bob, a year working on getting Gacy to do the interview because he didn't want to do it. And more than that, the prison didn't want him to do it because the prison said when you give a special attention to one of the inmates, everybody else gets unhappy and there's a lot of tension here. But I wrote him I called almost every day. That's an exaggeration. Every other day, I called this prison to speak to him, and he wouldn't come to the phone. He could have, but he wouldn't. I wrote a letter thereafter telling him, because I knew he was a Cubs fan, like you and me, Bob. I told him that I was a Cubs bat boy, and that turned him on. He
You're
then
kidding.
Answered the next phone call, and we made plans to come down. Then I had trouble with the prison department because they didn't want to let me in, but they had to because they looked at the laws and were told, they read the laws and were told that a prisoner has the right to speak if he wants to.
And then after you got the interview on Channel 2, did they give you your commentary back on the 10 o'clock news?
No.
They went back on the agreement?
They went back on it, and I quit not long thereafter. That was terrible.
Yeah, let's talk more about your interview and play a little bit more. It's fascinating. Let's listen to cut two here, and then we'll talk about it. This is 1992, Walter Jacobson and John Wayne Gacy.
But if you listen carefully, you catch him slipping up about John Vukovich, for instance, his second victim.
What happened to what happened in the Vukovich case? Where was he picked up, and how did he get to the house, and what happened with him?
I don't want to go into the other the five that I know about. Just take it that I didn't. Vukovich is not one that I killed, so I don't know nothing about him. the little bit that I know about him is that he was an employee of my. See, when you look about this recall business, and
I'm not a prosecutor, John, but you just.
I know you're not. Wait a minute.
Is not one that you killed, which suggests that maybe in fact there were others that you did kill.
Okay, I'm sorry if I led you to believe. No, strike it then. That is wrong.
Yeah, he kept contradicting himself, didn't he?
He sure did. Boy, he went back on everything. He had to contradict himself because he would say that the boys were bad, the boys needed to be put away somewhere. He didn't say killed, but put away. And then he would say, well, they were pretty nice kids, actually. You know, he had, in his living room, he had an office. He was in the construction business. He owned a construction company. And that's how, one of the ways he lured young men into his hands. And there are several stories he told me about sitting in the living room with boys, and they were talking and they were socializing, and then I got up and I went away to have a drink, and when I came back, one of them was gone, the other one was dead. So
we're talking to Walter Jacobson. It's been almost 30 years since he sat with serial killer John Wayne Gacy for a 30-minute interview at Menard Correctional Center. But actually, Walter, you were with Gacy for, I know, 2 or 3 hours. You wrote in your book, Walter's Perspective, that he was less fearsome than he appeared in pictures. What else do you remember about your feelings being face-to-face with the man?
When I walked through the prison at Menard, I got a feeling like you get when you watch movies of prison, you know, it was cold and almost dark, and what's in there, and who is this guy? Because he was such a monster, I expected him to look big and tough. He wasn't any taller than I, and I'm, what, 5'5 if I stretch? and he came in with a prison uniform on. First they sat me down in a little room, a room like you see on television, with a fluorescent light and two chairs and a crummy table, and they sat me down in one and said, okay, just be still, we'll have him come in here in a few minutes. And I waited, and first of all I thought he was going to not make it, but the door opened and he was tied his hands behind his back.
He was handcuffed.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. And his legs were cuffed with chain.
Right.
So he kind of shuffled in, sat down, and the first thing he said to me was, what do you want? I mean, he was very aggressive, he was antagonistic, and he scared me, because not that I thought he could hurt me, but just to be in the presence of a guy like that. He sat down, said that to me, and I said, look, Mr. Gacy, I want whatever you want to say. I don't want to say anything. Well, yes, you did. You agreed to have this interview, and let's talk. Please, just whatever you want to say. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm just going to try to get your feelings about things. And so we went on. And you, Bob, picked the most interesting parts of the interview when you said that he considered himself a victim. He spent 2.5 hours telling me he was the victim. And he said, you know, listen to this, I'm a lovable, jokey kind of guy. I still do. My favorite person, my mentor in life has been Walt Disney. And speaking of that, he paints, you know, and he paints clowns. And Disney mentored him to be funny, he said. In fact, he gave me one of the paintings. I took it home, and then in about a week I threw it away because I didn't want to be reminded. But he said that people were telling him that he was guilty, but he knew he wasn't any. He said he took a lie test for 3 hours, and it proved, he said, that he didn't kill those boys.
But as we said, at times during the interview, he contradicted himself and did admit to some of the killings, but he never expressed any remorse for anything,
none,
did he?
None. Not a bit. He just looked angry and looked frightened. You know, this was just a couple of weeks before he was going to be executed.
Yeah, and he apparently was at peace. Listen to this portion of the interview with Walter Jacobson and John Wayne Gacy.
Gacy's appeals, which are expected to go on for another 2 years, maybe three, before his death sentence is carried out. What have 13 years of thinking about that done to John Gacy? Nothing, he says. Nothing at all.
I'm just as lovable and jokeable as I was back then. You know, I don't sit around worrying about the death penalty or things like that, no.
How could you not?
If you believe you've lived your life the right way, then you do not have nothing to fear in my case.
You're not worried about facing death?
No. I'm fairly comfortable with them. I've been at the Catholic services. I'm the server for the priest for the last 10 years. I have no qualms about doing that. I've had confession. I have communion. And I am at peace with myself.
That's what he says, that he's at peace with himself. But he seemed to me, to be highly agitated and very frightened about death. He says he's religious, so how could he not be afraid of death or what will happen to him after death? Clearly, John Gacy's afraid enough to be doing whatever he can to avoid his execution, making up new excuses, denying his involvement, trying now to involve others, anything to open his case and prolong his life. But given the facts of the case, no matter what he does, it won't be enough.
Walter was a witness to the execution. What was that experience like?
Well, it was prison in near Rockford, Joliet, the state prison there. And there was a big crowd. We all had to go through the gates and locks and then walked through a courtyard, which was late at night because he had until midnight for the governor to hold back on the death penalty. And as we walked through the yard from the prison to the execution house, which was a small brick place, it just, you know, you can imagine how yucky it seemed. Prisoners were shouting through the windows, through the bars, "Bye, John. John, you'll be okay. Bye, you'll be okay." And then when we got into the little room where he was going to be executed, it was a room with about two dozen chairs with a window right in front of the first row of chairs, and there were blinds on the windows, and it smelled dank, and it was cold. I mean, it's like they set it up like you would in a movie.
Mm-hmm. And they put him to sleep, right?
Yeah, they put him to sleep before he came in. Mm-hmm. He came in on a gurney.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there was no reaction from him that you could read on his face?
No.
Nothing?
No. In fact, you do know, don't you? You read that the execution did not come off.
Right. At first, there was a problem with what they injected,
right,
and then they had to delay it for a while. I would urge people, if they can still find your book, Walter's Perspective, A Memoir of 50 Years in Chicago TV News, to get the book and read the chapter about Gacy, and you'll fill in the blanks that we don't have time to get into today. Walter, good to talk to you about all this. Very interesting stuff.
Thank you for having me in here, Robert.
Anytime.